Yeah. What's going on, world? I want to welcome you to another episode of the Universal Frequency.
Energy frequency vibration. Energy frequency vibration.
Happy Friday. We rocking. Of course, you got to show some love to the sponsor. Who are we powered by again? Okay, we back, man. I want to thank y'all for growing with me, learning with me, you know. Still trying to get a hold of this podcast thing. Rapping is easy, but managing lighting and sound and all this other smart nigga shit, man, is always fun. But I'm getting there. Welcome back, man. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're blessed. Hope your families are blessed. We are going to continue on our path to enlightenment. The last time we were on here, we were talking about small business planning and steps that you need to do when you want to turn your passion into a small business, which means a livelihood that you can basically provide for your family. And we actually didn't get all the way through it, but this is the conversation we're going to continue to have because I believe there are so many of us that are talented in what we do. We're talented cooks, we're talented chefs, we're talented tradesmen, maybe talented writers. But turning our talent into actual income and then being able to leverage that into a livelihood is an art. And not everyone can do it, to be real with you. Just realistically speaking, not everyone's built to be a small business owner. So I can't determine if you're one of those people. Only thing that I could do is that if you decide that you want to pursue anything like that in terms of being a small business owner, running your business better, or just overall financial literacy wise, this is the podcast for you. If you want to come away with some positive shit just so you can feel more enlightened and have better tools and better resources, this is the podcast for you. Okay? So we rocking. I want to get into an article that I found, and it said 7 tips to manage your small business. That's what this is about. Now, it's really, really important that you guys understand that small business is one of the hugest drivers of wealth in this country. Small businesses employ a huge portion of the workers in this country. Small businesses also allow for people to create legacy, passing down a trade, passing down something established. I would love to have the ability to pass down a brand that I am working on. Or businesses to my children and grandchildren. I've always thought it was dope when I meet a friend and his father would have like a mechanic business or a construction business that their grandfather started. And regardless of whether or where they went to school or what they did, they always had a job. That's what small business can do for your family. All right. Well, let's share this screen. Oh, make sure you like, subscribe, and share as well. This is the Universal Frequency. And I am going to play with music in the background, not music in the background. I've gone back and forth a little bit, and maybe you guys can tell. Excuse me. Maybe you can tell me. I'm trying to teach a little bit, and so this is a little less conversational, more educational, I would say. But I do feel like beats add rhythm and cadence and flavor. So we're going to try to do it a couple different ways so we get it right. The great thing is you are now my day ones. All right, so let's share the screen. Let's share the screen. All right, here we go. Mic checking out, hear me clearly. Seventeen tips to manage your small business finances. So this is on Finder.com. All right. A lot of the times, what I do is I look for resources that exist, and I'm in the process of creating my own. But honestly, the information is already public. There's nothing new about how you should run your small business. It's really just about structure and being prepared. So a lot of the things that we're going to talk about in terms of how you should document your money in and out, how you should structure your business, what is your organizational culture, what is basically the blueprint for your business operations, all that has to be systematic and structured. That's how success goes, right? So let's get into it. Boom. Number one tip: if you are going to run a successful small business, you need to properly manage your accounting. Now, this seems sort of light, but you definitely want to hire a good bookkeeper or accountant. I just say flat out go hire the accountant. That way they can take a look at your entire tax situation and provide you advice on it. But absolutely. And for those of you that are cash intensive, whether you cut hair or you do hair or whether you throw parties, I know some of you folk that are a little bit loose in terms of what money comes in or comes out. I know some waitresses, they used to come to the bank with their money their money stacked up, lined up, but they never counted it. Like, hey, tell me what's here. You don't know what's here? I could rob you, right? Like, I will never rob you. But my point is, you have to know how much money you have. How do you know if the teller is short? How do you know if there's not a human error? So you definitely have to properly manage your accounting at the basic level by you being aware of what's there. Secondly, definitely get you an accountant. And when I say get you an accountant, I do not mean get you some friend of the family who is not going through the proper education to become an accountant. They have not gone through the proper exams or the registration or licensure, whatever it takes to become a CPA. That would be my advice. And to also be completely real, as a small business owner, I had dealt, I had been audited before and my books wasn't together. I had to learn that as a small business. I had to learn that. That's what made me get an accountant, right? And at first I was frustrated about it. So I had someone else who had a small business tell me that that's just a part of making money, dealing with the IRS, paying your taxes, and counting your money correctly. So boom, number one, properly manage your accounting. Number two, review your costs. So depending on your business line, if you're a cook, you're gonna wanna review food costs. If you are a mechanic, you're gonna want to review costs for materials, what parts you're buying, oil. The list goes on and on about what your cost should be, whether it's overhead, whether it's rent, whether it's utilities, whether it's you're paying someone. You have to stay on top of your costs. Because ultimately, how much money you expel and how frugally you run your business will have a huge, huge say in how far your revenue goes. Being real. So keep track of all your small business expenses. Get a QuickBooks. There are apps that you can take pictures of receipts on your phone and store them for certain reasons. There are so many tools out there for you as a business owner to keep track of your costs. Hugely, hugely important. I would also say if you run a small business where you do a certain amount of driving, you absolutely should have a mileage calculator. I am not an accountant, but you are absolutely wasting money if you are driving for your business and you are not keeping track of your gas and your mileage. And again, there are apps that can do this on your phone. So if if you can get on TikTok and Instagram, you can keep track of your business. Okay, number three is a little bit more complex, right? Making financial projections. And not everyone here is a CFA or has the ability to conduct a financial analysis or projection. But you should know if your business is operational, daily, weekly, monthly, what it takes to break even, what it takes to be profitable. And obviously, if you cannot run a profitable business, you will not remain in business. That's it. Now, it does get a bit more nuanced when you're dealing with more money, higher inventory, you're dealing with receivables. Again, that's what your accountant is for. But at the ground level, you have to make sure that your operations are profitable. And I say that, and like in 2022, I know businesses that maybe they're purchasing a certain type of loan, or they're selling a certain type of service, and they don't make money on each unit that they sell. My question is, how are they in business? We'll see. I wonder how long it'll be. But these are basics of it. Straight up, these are basics of it. And yo, shout out to whoever joined, by the way. Let me stop sharing the screen real quick. We'll get back to it. Hey. Like, comment, subscribe. Hope you like this new lighting I got. Let me know. Am I coming in clearly? Please. Let me know if I'm coming in clearly. Let's get back to it. Let's share this screen. Tips to manage your small business, man. That's what we're doing. All right. Don't get stalled on invoicing. Okay. Send out invoices as soon as possible after providing receipts or of goods or services. I would say so. I would say provide your invoice with a receipt in an organized fashion at the time of service. I wouldn't say let's get into the habit of doing too many services and not invoicing, but that depends on your relationship, to be real with you. I have a guy that comes and does my landscaping, a rapport is such where now he doesn't have to send me invoices. He's on the schedule. When I need him, he shows up, I take care of him. That's because we have a rapport. The vast majority of your customers will not be like that. So you need to provide receipts with the date of service, what was done, and you need to actually keep the records, right? Not just issue the receipt to your customer, but you maintain these records in an organized fashion so you can ever pull them if you need them, okay? Reference numbers, reference invoice numbers, cross-reference with these payments, yada, yada, yada. Okay, here's the thing. There's software available that I can do this for. So get the software, get the QuickBooks, get the Quicken, whatever it may be, consult your CPA, and figure out an invoicing system for yourself. Okay? Number five, keep a separate business bank account. This is huge. Very huge. Actually, very huge in the background. This is tremendous. I'm sure that's the right sentiment. But keeping a proper record of your accounting is going to be vital to your small business, especially when you have to show records of expenses. That's when you have to have a separate account. Also, you don't want to co-mingle funds. and more than likely, if you have a separate business entity, like an LLC or a corporation, anything like that, you're going to have a separate tax ID number with a separate business name. That checks are made separately payable to. So this is just common sense. There are even liability nuances depending on how you structure your business with this tax ID, right? Whether you use an employee identification number or EIN, or you use your social. Again, I can't tell you which is better. I'm telling you to pay someone that can, which you need to know. Straight like that. All right, number six, keep track of personal loans to your business. This is something that I know many small businesses in the beginning do struggle with. Is they're constantly investing into the business. They're constantly making capital infusions. Yet they are still, I don't want to say struggling, but it's hard for them to get above water. You have to know how much to start paying yourself back. But more importantly, you have to know how much gas you're putting in the car. I'm supposed to be honest. So keep track of it. It's only going to be good when it comes to accounting time. And some businesses allow, some businesses are structured in which business owners will take a year-end draw or distribution to pay themselves back. Keeping track of your personal loans to your business will probably help you evaluate that. Now, number seven, use a business credit card. Let me stop so that I can see my pretty face. Use a business credit card. So this is dope, right? This is dope because in minority communities, we're taught that credit is negative. And I've said this before. We're taught that credit should be something that you should avoid. It's detrimental. And the reality is, credit used unwisely can be detrimental. But when used in the correct fashion, when actually used to empower and create opportunities, it's a great way to get rewards. It's a great way to prove your lendability, your lendability with a lender. And it can be systematically driven up. Better credit score that you have, better rates that you get. Mortgage loans, credit cards, car insurance, et cetera, et cetera. Your business works the same way. So you're gonna wanna get a business credit card, okay? Now, here's the nuance to it. Most customers, when they begin their business, won't have business credit. So when you go to your bank and you apply for a small business credit card, especially if it's for introductory businesses, it's going to judge you by your personal credit. So your personal credit has to be in there, right? Not every bank does this, but some banks do allow, depending on your credit score, for you to get issued a brand new business credit card. I've seen it. For those of us that may not have the scores that warrant an unsecured business credit card without business credit, the next step I would say would be a secured credit card. Secure credit card means you take a portion of your own funds, you go to the bank and say, hey, I want a credit card in the name of my business. This is the business name, this is the tax ID, and I'm going to put up the collateral for you to issue me such credit. And then they'll say, okay, Mr. Customer, boom, you got it. There's your credit card. And then you use and pay that back, use and pay it back like you would a normal credit card. You do that systematically over time, you will drive up your business credit. And then you'll start receiving other credit card offers for your business card. That's just part of it. But you have to embrace it. You have to embrace it. Especially if you're in a position where you do a lot of driving, having a business credit card can not only give you extra points on gas, you're still tracking your miles, you're tracking what you spend for your gas on that specific credit card. A lot of different benefits to it. And it's funny. My barber, man, shout out to Nate, man. Young bro, man, young boy, but he's a monster. Anyway, so Nate, I came out of barber school. I told him, excuse me, your own name. Came out of barber school. I said, yo, go set up your business and go get your business credit, right? So this 18-year-old goes out there. So as he graduates barber school, you know, he sets up his business. Boom, 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 boom. I leave from working at that bank. And he starts to work with a local small business lender to get a business credit card. Now, this is a young kid who's just beginning his business, but he's in business, right? He's in active business. So the banker that he was working with, instead of being upfront and honest with him about how their business credit products work and what he should expect as a new business owner, the guy basically took an empty application, which obviously didn't work out for my good friend, and basically conducted poor conversation throughout the process. And it's like, yo, you guys deserve a banker, right? That's going to be able to have effective communication. And sometimes it's not managed that way. And sometimes judgments are passed on business owners based on what they look like, how young they are, how long before they are along the business. What I recommend to you as the business owner is to set clear standards. Ask, What can I expect from this process? How does your bank treat new business credit? Or how does my credit suit this credit that I'm applying for? These are things that you could do to safeguard yourself from overzealous bankers, man. And the guy that did it was a brother, too. That was crazy. Like, you should know better. But anyway, that's me getting off course, man. Definitely maintain this small business credit, bro. Go back to this. Share the screen. Share the screen. All right. Pay yourself first. Well, here's the thing. It's easy to assume that if you're running a business, you're going to pay yourself. But you have to have an established structure of how you pay yourself. That's what's really important about this part. You just can't wing it. So I have a lot of friends that are entrepreneurs, and I can't wait to start talking to them about some of these topics and busting down what made them successful. That's coming. Don't worry. I'm just getting the wheels and the bus moving, but I'm excited, man. And you know, one of the great things about learning and building with different entrepreneurs is you realize how individually disciplined they are about their business. I can tell you, if anyone's making money, they follow up with their customers, they get up early, they put the time in, they don't wait for anyone to bring them what they're looking for, and they network. These are things I promise you that every successful small business owner does. So, okay, cool, we're moving. Remain frugal. Even though you pay yourself, don't get sucked up in the benefits of business ownership if you can't afford it. Set your salary as low as possible and offer government mandated benefits only. Again, man, this is straightforward, man. Keep travel costs minimal. Again, let's skip the signals. Now, this is a great one. Don't let legal fees get out of hand. So, here's a reality. If you're going to make money, you're going to need attorneys and you're going to need accountants. Flat out. There may be a portion of time where you think you can oversee some of these processes, but as you grow and your business grows and you personally grow, and your scenario becomes more complex, you're going to want experts to help you navigate these waters. So a couple tips. Make your expectations clear to your lawyer when procuring your service. I got a story about this one too. I don't even know if I can tell it legally. Choose the billing option that's most effective for your business, hourly or per project. Again, that's a conversation you need to have with your attorney. Sometimes they'll do it on a retainer. Most of the time, most attorneys take a retainer. It's going to take a monthly retainer, and it's not cheap. Ask whether it is possible to defer payment until the project is funded. Hey, so depending on what is being negotiated, that may be an option. I also know that some attorneys may take a percentage of certain things, depending on what's being negotiated. That happens a lot in entertainment. Ultimately, you are responsible for keeping your partners at bay. And I say partners, but really they work for you because you hire them. But you need them on the team, right? You need attorneys, you need accountants, straight up. Now, some of this other stuff is geared towards when your business is flourishing, right? Like taking care of and expanding. That's a completely separate conversation we're not going to have right now. But yeah, that is a thing. When you own that one restaurant, you want to buy a second. And you have to figure out, are you working in your business or on your business? If you're the main cook in your restaurant and you prepare all the food, who's going to cook the food at the second restaurant that you're in? A And how do we know that they're going to cook the food the same? You know. So these are things that you as small business owners have to be on top of. Take control of marketing and public relations. Okay, blah. We know that. Consider renting instead of buying. Blah. We know that. Okay, so don't wait too long before seeking a loan. Here's something that I need you guys to also understand. When it comes to equipment, land, or real estate, those are term loans. Those should be fixed term loans. Revolving lines of credit, things like credit cards, should be used for short-term expenses that may be unforeseen. But you do not want to finance equipment on anything revolving. Okay? You do not want to purchase real estate on anything revolving. In the accounting dynamics of it, and please, all my CPAs, watching, feel free to correct me. But the equipment that you purchase is supposed to generate a monthly value, which can then be offset by the money it creates. So there's a debt that you owe for it, and it's supposed to be able to create value for it, and we're supposed to be able to track it. That's what your accountant does, more or less. That's why you pay him, flat out, so he can do the shit that you don't want to do. But that's where we at, man. And when it comes to seeking a loan, here's the thing. Access to capital is a huge barrier for a lot of businesses. That's the word I want to use. Big or small. There are businesses that have $10 million of revenue that still go to the bank for a loan, because maybe they want to purchase another business. Maybe they need some working capital to get through some seasonality they may be experiencing. Or maybe they just want to buy another building or buy more equipment. And they don't want to use their money. And maybe they're taking advantage of potential tax benefits of having certain equipment and how it's accounted for. Again, I don't want to go too deep into those waters because you got to get an accountant. I'm not an accountant. But this is the type of chess that can be played. So I don't want you to be afraid of taking a loan when it's necessary. But you'll know, because ultimately that loan costs money. There's typically fees that you got to deal with. There's obviously interest. There's obviously obligations. So that's something that should be worked out between you and your business partners, or you and your accountant, or you and your decision makers. Now, make sure you have enough capital. All right? Now, this is something that I think, here's the thing. I've seen companies take on people and lay them off 2 weeks later, right? Like major companies. It's actually happening like right now in 2022 in the fintech and venture capital world. So this is a mistake. I don't even know if it's a mistake, but this is something that can occur. Companies that have enough capital, whether you're a small business or a large business, whether you're just getting started or you have, you know, series of valuations and you raise capital, or you have all the type of accolades that a large business may have. I do think it's important that you have to know how much capital you have and what you have access to. So, get with your team, get organized, don't get caught slipping, that's for sure. But don't spend prematurely. I mean, these things are kind of basic. But it's the small things, the small details that make a world of difference, right? So when it comes to you pursuing your business, creativity is key. I would absolutely watch Shark Tank. I would absolutely spend some time on Shark Tank. I would not just, I mean, the personalities are great, of course, but the conversations they have around equity and debt and projections and the type of business that they're in and how many units do they sell. And ultimately, you have to create your own value before someone else will find you valuable. That's true. That's the truth. Mark Cuban says, hey, if you can't be profitable on your own, why? How can I help you be profitable? He's 100% correct. It's up to you and your business infrastructure and your team and what you want to do. And I know I spent the last two episodes talking about owning your own business. There is nothing wrong with working for someone. There's nothing wrong with earning a W-2. Nothing wrong with being a licensed contractor. There are many different ways to earn a living, but there are many different nuances regarding it. Ultimately, if you want control, say, in decision-making power over your day-to-day operation and how you interact and what time you show up and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're going to have to own your own business. If you decide that you don't like being told what to do, if you decide that the commute where you're going is too tough, you may have to start your own business. But some of us have to do what we have to do. Some of us have to commute. Some of us have to acquiesce. You know, the average person, the average working parent, has to drop their kids off somewhere. That's why daycare is there for a reason. And I'm pretty sure people wouldn't want to commute or drop their kids off if they didn't have to, but it's a necessity of life. So ultimately, there are things that we do to provide for our way of life and for us to make a living that we have to align with ourselves and our purpose. It's a long-winded way of saying it. And both are cool. I know many people that work for someone else and have separate businesses. And that's when you start getting into different revenue streams. You start getting into being able to take from multiple buckets instead of one. That's a space where I think it's really opportunistic. Because one thing I did not talk about here is benefits. Okay? The insurance costs, the health insurance costs, and the cost of benefits are going up in this country. When you work for a large employer, they may offer a full 401k plan. Why can't I talk today? But some form of retirement plan where if you donate, maybe they'll match. Those funds can then be borrowed on at a later date, purchase a home, or obviously used to accumulate from when you retire. And if your company is going to match you just for donating to that, that's a benefit that you would not have as a small business owner. When it comes to little things that you may take advantage of, what your health, your dental, your flex, your FSA card, your flexible spending accounts, whether you have access to short-term disability via your paycheck, or whether you have access to some form of legal representation for a percentage of your paycheck. These are little things that companies can do when you're working for them, like when you are a small business owner, you do not have access to. So you have to consider the needs of your family. I have family members that are entrepreneurs, and some of them are lucky enough to where their wife can, or their spouse, excuse me, to where their spouse can get insurance for the family. But if you have children, you're gonna need health insurance. Good one. That's how it goes. You're gonna need dental. Shit, you gotta live, bro. You gotta live, bro. So, I don't know, man. I just, as I said earlier, I always thought it was dope, right? I always thought it was dope when I would meet somebody and their families had a business that was passed down amongst generations. That was dope. Shout out to Burden Brothers and all too, man. That's family. But yeah, man. One day I would like to be able to say, hey, baby, this is what daddy's been building, and that was yours. legacy, man. Legacy. And that's what we're doing on the Universal Frequency, man. We're trying to build legacy. For real. We're trying to grow. We're trying to achieve new levels of ourselves and that we have not achieved before. And all of this shit is possible, bro. You know? I'm sounding like my mother the more and more I talk, but I do believe that through education and empowerment, we can get to the next tier. This has to be directed in the right manner and guided. You want to know why financial literacy is important to me? When I started teaching it. I started to connect with children that were like me, that may have not had parents that were financially savvy, or may have not had support in a household that can disseminate certain things to them. So when I started working with youth and talking about needs versus wants, checking the savings, debit and credit, it made me feel good. But the real reason why it's important is because we have to empower ourselves. A lot of us came from redline communities, and in those communities, we're three times as likely to not have life insurance. We're twice as likely to be unhealthy. There are so many things about our society that have impacted how certain communities have developed, and some of us already have a disadvantage. And I know that's not popular to say, because I don't want it to seem like an excuse. But being aware about our finances and how we spend our money is a huge part of this conversation, getting into a different financial space. The black dollar, how much they market to us in our communities, and what we purchase when we want to purchase. We make plenty of businesses, George. Right? Financial literacy is important because that teaches us how to spend more efficiently and put some of that money back into our own pockets. That's the grand scheme of things, right? And I've bounced this around. One day, I feel like, that's the wrong word. I'm going to get my doctorate in education one day, right? And when I do that, I believe my thesis will be, I shouldn't even tell you that. I'm not even going to tell you the thesis, but it's going to be around financial literacy and how this is better for everybody, man. Imagine a financial literacy of being good fertilizer, right? Why wouldn't the farmer want to fertilize the soil so he could reap better fruit? That's how I look at it. So all these companies that really claim to be coming along and helping people and helping small businesses, and they're really just driving deposit products, shame on you. We really should be empowering people with information to be more empowered borrowers, more empowered spenders, more savvy investors. Because as their deposits grow, their ability to spend grows. That's how I look at it, man. But everybody don't think like that. So, sorry, I gotta figure out this lighting. This lighting's all purple and shit. I'm working out the kinks, man. I'm working out the kinks. But that's what we're doing, man. Universal Frequency Podcast. Like, subscribe, share, comment, just listen. I swear, if there's one person that takes what I'm saying away from these videos and they implement it, we've won. If I touch one person and they go out and they touch a person, I've touched two. And those two people touch another two people, then it multiplies. So I'm just trying to jumpstart the energy, right? I don't have to cast a widest net. I just have to cast the net on the right people. Praise God. like, subscribe, share. I also have a project coming. I got a project coming. It's called Rise of the Phoenix. I cannot wait until you guys take a listen in. This shit is obviously a classic. I mean, it's mine, but I'm definitely excited about it, to be honest with you. Don't mistake me. Yeah, I'm pulling a triple, but this is 21 tracks of pure bangers. I like what I'm talking about. I like the emotion. I like the story that we're telling. And ultimately, this is a blessing. It's a blessing. People gonna have this shit on repeat for a while. Oh God. Oh God. So listen, y'all. I'm gonna let you get back to your Friday night. This was the Small Business episode of the Universal Frequency. Let me know some dope topics you want to discuss, financial literacy wise. That's the direction we're going with the podcast. I know when we first started, I was talking a lot about purpose and meaning, and it was very spiritual. And we're not going to stop that. But what we're going to do is we're going to work that spirituality, we're going to work that lens for good into jewelry that people can use. That's what we are. FNX Music, the Universal Frequency Podcast. Here we out.
Energy frequency vibration. Energy frequency vibration. Energy frequency vibration. Go and look at destiny now. Why are you?